Hey, it's me again. High five somebody and let them know that you're happy that they're here today. And then the person that you're not happy that they're here, just give them a fist bump. Let them know you love them. That's just how you roll. Even if you, everybody's fist bumping me. What in the world? That's messed up. Hey, I'm so thankful. I will tell you today, man, God has been so faithful. Guys, we have folks that are here bright and early each and every week to set this up. This is actually a gym. Sometimes doubles as a motel, it seems like, from time to time. But this is a gym that we get to set up and tear down every week. And I'm so thankful Jesus lets us do this together. Really quick, I wanted to remind you, how many of us look forward to spring? Yay. Now, how many of us look forward to losing sleep? Zero hands. So guess what? You get to have something to look forward to because we spring forward next Sunday. Just a reminder, most of us use our phone for that. But if you do have clocks or you do go the old school way and you have clocks, just remember next Sunday we spring forward. Can you believe that? It's already time. So next Sunday we spring forward. But here's the thing. We got you covered because at 9:30 every Sunday we got breakfast. So when you come dragging in, we got some coffee to pick you up. So I promise you right now it'll be well worth your time. So make sure that you come hang out with us next week, even though we do spring forward. Just a reminder that that happens. So I'm going to go ahead and lay the groundwork today. I'm going to attack today probably a little bit differently than you're used to me going about this because I'm a crazy guy. You know how I roll. So I'm a little wild and crazy. You know that. So today is going to be fun. We're going to look at the lens of something different. But just a recap of where we've been talking about wedding vows. And I know what most of us would be willing to say, how many of us would like to have a strong and lasting marriage? Hint, if your spouse is here, it's probably a good idea to raise you. But anyway, yeah, you'd like to have a strong and lasting marriage. Or maybe you're thinking about being married one day. Maybe you're in a relationship and you're trying to figure the ins and outs of that. But we have walked through this series called The Vow, how you can have a strong and lasting relationship. And we started out talking about the vow of priority and how we were set up to be submissive to one another, how God had to be our number one priority, and how we were supposed to serve our spouse, right? Like, we were supposed to put them above us. It wasn't about someone lording it over the other. It was about Jesus first, my spouse second, my kids third, me, and somewhere down the line is work, okay? Like, we talked about that, how we are supposed to serve one another. Then the next week, man, we talked about the vow of pursuit and how we have to be intentional about our pursuit. I don't know what you carried away from that, but I think most folks, I got to hear a little bit this week, if he wants to watch the Shoot 'Em Up movie, let him watch the Shoot 'Em Up movie. Do that with him. Like, pursue him. Let that happen and him pursue her. We talked about how a woman just wants to know if she's loved today, and women, your man just wants to know that you believe in him today. So we talked about how we can be intentional in that pursuit. And last week, man, we got to attack partnership. And we got to attack the reason why we should get married is unity. And so today, we save the best for last. One of the ones that's the hardest to talk about. It's one of the ones that we probably didn't want to talk about. But hang in here with me today because I'll tell you, you're going to have something for it. Today, we're going to be talking about the vow of purity. All right? Now, everyone got ready and beelined to the bathroom when I did that. That's crazy. What in the world is that about? So we're going to talk about the vow of purity. And so if you've got your Bible, we say this every week. Hey, we have free Bibles for the asking if you would like to have one. But we do something each and every week. A lot of folks like to do things digitally now. So since they do, we put our scripture and our information on the Bible app. So if you have the Bible app, you can download it from your favorite app store. But I'm going to show you right now how you can follow along with us. If you'll open that up, click on the Bible app, you'll open that up. And when you click the More tab, what you're going to be able to do is hit the events. Once you hit the events, and yes, it has S's, I can say that, we're in the South. Once you click events, then you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. You're going to see the vow of purity. And not only are you going to find the scripture that we have up there, but also you're going to find ways to connect with us. That's what we want to do. We just want to create an avenue so that we can serve you or pray for you in any way. A lot of times folks don't like to come to you right away on a Sunday and say, this is what I'm walking through or struggling with. We want to make sure you have that information in your hands. But more importantly, you can take notes, look back over the message, and see what God is teaching you throughout the week. So you go ahead and get your Bible app open. I'm going to be honest with you today. We're only going to be in a few places of scripture. And like I said, it's going to be a little bit different. Now, the verse we've been rallying around is Ephesians 5:31. So if you've got your Bible, you can get to Ephesians 5:31. And then if you want to, you can mark out Hebrews. That's where we're going to be most of the day today. So Ephesians 5:31 says this, and it's talking about marriage. For this reason, we talked about the reason last week was unity. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The two will become one flesh. So we've walked literally through this verse throughout every vow that we have in marriage. And today, we're talking about becoming one. It's not unity. This is about purity. Because to become one, you really, really have to have right eyes, right heart, right mind to be and talk about what we're going to talk about today. So, like I told you all the way through this, your pastor is the marriage expert. I'm not. Obviously, I'm not married. But here's the thing I know. I believe that the Holy Spirit is the same in me that's the same in you. And whatever word God has for you, you're going to get from it. And I will tell you, if I don't have the answer to walk with you through what you're walking through in your marriage, we have great couples here at the Vine Church that will walk with you through whatever questions you have, whatever season you have, and they'll be willing to help you too in your marriage. So this is the end all and be all, but here's the thing that I do know. The Bible talks about marriage, and I promise you that you're going to get something today, whether you're going to be married or you don't want to be married. So here's where we're at, or you don't want to be, or you're thinking of being married. I should say that. You don't want to be married. We won't talk about that. But today, as we talk about this vow of purity, I want to start off by asking you this. How many folks have ever shopped at a grocery store? Wow, just a few people. Apparently Amazon doesn't deliver yet, right? Like, how many folks have shopped at a grocery store? So let me ask you something. Is there a difference when you shop on an empty stomach versus a full stomach? It's a big difference, right? A huge, huge difference. Like, your cart looks exactly different. Like, you can't, there's not an aisle you can't walk down that you'll find something you want when you're hungry, right? Like, that's probably the worst things to do when you go to the grocery store. It is such a budget buster, right? Speaking of financial peace, doesn't it bust up that budget too? Because you find everything on sale, right? It's like specifically set up just for you on that end cap, 10,000 calories in one small snack, like, right? It's ready to go. You're set up. And so many times, the reason I want to talk to you about that is I think a lot of us treat our relationships that way. We have a hunger that we're trying to satisfy. And when we talk about this vow of purity, how I'm going to attack this a little different way today, and to be quite honest with you, will I believe shed some light into maybe where you're hungering for the wrong things in your relationship and marriage, is sometimes you treat your marriage like the grocery store. And you treat your spouse like they're the person that is supposed to fulfill your hunger. And what I want to tell you today, if you're walking through the vow of purity, that person was never meant to fulfill that for you. It might be a shock to you because Disney doesn't sell that. I get it, but they do sell some great things and they have some fun things. But when it comes to this vow of purity, if you're going around desiring something and fulfilling it immediately and expecting your spouse to do it, I promise you, you are on the road to destruction. You are on the road to a fight. You are on the road to something that's about to crumble. And today we have to have the lens of that as we walk through the vow of purity. We have to know what we hunger and thirst for. So today, the reason I brought that up, I started thinking about this when I saw the grocery store. I meant to ask you this question. How many of you are married with kids and you just wish you could go to the grocery store whenever you wanted to instead of on someone else's time, right? Like, some folks are. Yeah, you can see some folks are. But I thought about that today because their hunger and their desire affects you. That's what I was going to get at with that, right? Isn't it crazy? So today, as we attack this vow of purity, I just want to talk about this hunger, this desire, because see, when our desires aren't aligned with the right purpose, then we're setting ourselves up for destruction. Just like that grocery store. You can do it every now and again, but like you go to those big box stores right at lunch, right? Do you think that they just give you samples out of the goodness of their heart when they have them all set up in the little cups and the toothpicks longer than the product, right? They don't do that out of the goodness of their heart. They know they're going to get you to buy it. And when we walk into our relationship, the thing is, what we have a desire for can take our attention and our eyes off of the purpose that we have for our marriage. So the lens I want to walk through today is, if you do have your Bible, you're welcome to be on the Bible app. Where we're going to camp out the most today is Hebrews 12, verse 16 and 17. Hebrews 12, verse 16 and 17. And it says this, because you know if we're talking about purity, here we go. We're just going to go ahead and attack it from the beginning. See that no one is sexually immoral. I could just drop the mic and go home with that, and we could walk about our day. But we got to unpack what that looks like, right? So see that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau. Poor Esau. Who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought the blessing with tears. He could not change what he had done. You see, I believe so many times in our relationships, and I believe where we are a lot of times, maybe in our marriage right now, as our desires aren't aligned and we're willing to trade instant gratification for something that can bring us eternal satisfaction. That's exactly what happened with Esau. Now, maybe you haven't had this story, so I want to unpack it. If you haven't ever heard this story, and I would encourage you in your own time, go to Genesis 25. You can read this story about these guys named Jacob and Esau and their brothers. And what happens is they're actually the grandsons of this guy, Abraham. I know you've heard about Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Woo, woo. Any sons had. Anyway, that was for the teens. You're welcome. That was VBS days, somersault days. Hashtag, you're welcome. So, Father Abraham didn't have many sons. He actually had one son, and then he had many sons after, right? It just went all the way through. But what ended up happening is Jacob and Esau were born, and Esau was born first. And it says, Jacob came out holding Esau's heel. Like his older brother, they were twins, and they fought in the womb, and Esau was born first. And what ended up happening is because he was born first, he was supposed to receive the blessing that from God, like the blessing of the birthright of being the firstborn son. Here's where we're going to attack this today. And so Esau, man, he is straight Cabela's. He is the outdoors guy. Like he goes hunting for feral pigs with his bare hands and a knife. Like he's a man's man. He's got it together. Like Jacob, his brother, like has a Stitch Fix account. Like he's ready to go. He's got everything picked out. I just remember that. Yeah, that's how we connected. Stitch Fix account. Like, you know, he's walking around. He's getting everything together. He's saving pictures. Like he's ready to go. He's kind of, as you say, I guess a metrosexual at the time. Like he's ready to go. He's got everything. He's at home. Well, what ends up happening is Esau has been out hunting, and he is so hungry when he comes inside, and he's just desiring something to eat, that his brother named Jacob, which really means the deceiver, has been sitting home cooking up some stew. And his brother's just so hungry. He's so famished. He's at his weakest moment, and brotherly love, because, you know, brothers always get along, right? Brotherly love, little brother looks at his older brother and says, hey, you hungry? You want something to eat? Let me say this. If you want this soup that I've been making for you all day long, let's be real, he got it from Campbell's. We know it was thick and chunky. This soup that I made all day long, and he's like, he's cooking, and it's just filling the air. And I imagine, like, as this soup, he's got the Olive Garden breadsticks in the oven. Like, he's got it ready. He's wafting all of that in there. He's even got the salad. He's tossed it up, and he's saying, hey, if you want this, all you got to do is sell me your birthright. Just give me your inheritance. What's great is there's a story in the New Testament about somebody who wants an inheritance. Talk about the redemption of God and the redeeming favor of God. But what we see here in the New Testament with Esau is once he gave his birthright away, he could never get it back. And so today, as we look through that lens of Esau, when we talk about purity and we talk about walking through the vow of purity, that's exactly where we are. So many of us in this stage, we may say we don't agree with Esau. As a matter of fact, we'd call him that he's stupid. He just gave it away for some Campbell's thick and chunky. But if we're completely honest, we're just like Esau. And I will tell you, so many times in our relationships, if we don't walk through them with the right purpose and the right way, we can give away something in a moment that will haunt us for decades. Matter of fact, that haunted Esau the rest of his life. Once he gave it away, he couldn't get it back. And the reason I want to talk to you about that today is I want to talk to you about the blessing that is a long-lasting godly marriage. And if you're willing to throw that away for a moment to fulfill a desire over actually growing and having satisfaction that can only be found in a godly marriage with right priorities. And so that's what I want to walk through when we walk through this lens of Esau. Because I think if we're completely honest, most of us are going to get something today, but I want to speak to two people specifically in the room right now. No matter where you are on this relationship spectrum, one extreme is going to say, I don't need any of this crap. This is stupid. And I want to promise you, there's going to be something for you. And on the other extreme, you're going to say, Tyler, if you really knew me, I'm so trapped. I'm so trapped in this desire. I'm so trapped in this addiction. There's no way out. And there's no hope for me. And I want to tell both of you today, wherever you are on those extremes, there is hope. And we're going to show you that hope. And I promise you that Jesus has something for you, because he never created you to be saying that what he wants for you is not good enough. And he never created you to believe that you're not good enough for him to be saved by him. So today, wherever you are on that spectrum, I want to tell you we have something for you. So as we attack this blessing, this inheritance of a godly marriage, we've looked at Esau. We're going to camp out in Hebrews a little bit. But what I want to talk about today when we talk about this vow of purity is I want to talk about the three approaches that I see in the world we take to marriage. The three approaches that we take to marriage. The three approaches that we take to relationships. There are three that I see. Now, there probably could be more. I mean, there could be hit or miss some more. But today, I really want to specifically focus on these three. And the first one, if you're taking notes, is this. The casual approach. The cash. The business cash. The casual approach. The casual approach to marriage and relationships. And the casual approach would kind of be like where Esau was. The casual approach says this about marriage. It's just a piece of paper, man. Doesn't matter that much. I can go get another one tomorrow. It is what it is. It's just a piece of paper. It doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, when we look at that, that's kind of where we see where Esau was, is he just thought the birthright was just a piece of paper, and he was like, just a piece of paper. It doesn't really mean any blessing. But we can see later in his life, it haunted him. He went back with tears to receive this blessing, and he never could. But yet, so many times we treat our relationships like that. And if we're honest, isn't just a minute all it takes to rip it all apart if we walk through with a casual approach? So how in the world do we treat this in marriage and relationships? Here are the words that I hear with a casual approach. I may give it a try. We'll see how it works. We're just testing the waters, right? And so how does that bleed over? I will tell you, because I've lived it. How does that bleed over? It starts with a toothbrush, then a suit, right? Like then one change of clothes, right? And then from there, it leads to sex. And then all of a sudden from there, where do you go? Because it's the 21st century, everybody's doing it, right? Why in the world shouldn't I get to be a part of that? It's just casual, right? Like it's the 21st century. So yet, so many times we do that because we feel like we deserve it. Don't we? It's one of those pin drop moments when you're talking about this. I know. Hang in here with me. We feel like it. So when I was walking through this, I started looking it up. And did you know that 57% of people in the United States have said they've lived with a significant other? I'm willing to bet it's higher than that. This was actually in 2006. 57% have said that. It's the norm in our society. It's the absolute norm to cohabitate. And I will tell you, as a realtor, I've got to deal with cohabitation. And if you think that it's not the same as marriage, let me try to sell your house when you've cohabitated. And I promise you, you'll find out it's just as bad as divorce. It isn't any different. It is Hades to walk through. And so what I will tell you, the reason I want to talk about that is I started saying, well, I feel like being with this person, and we're married in our hearts. No, what's happening when you're in a casual relationship is you have two people who aren't willing to commit to each other, and they want to keep their options open. And I promise you, if that's the life you're living in, Jesus never created you to be in a relationship like that. As a matter of fact, it's not worth it. It's not only worth it to you, it's not worth it to that other person, because he created you to have a fulfilled life. And I started thinking about, well, why do we do that? Number one, we definitely don't want to get hurt. But number two, all we hear about is our feelings. Our feelings. Esau walked in and he felt tired, he felt hungry, he felt worn out. And he said, man, I got to have what's in that stew. That's why you see all those memes going around with a guy, wealthy girl. This is an old one, so hang in here with this. Tells how old I am. I'm giving my age. Where he's walking down the street with his girlfriend, and he's looking at the other one going by, right? Like, he's thirsty, he's hungry, he's trying to look for something else to fulfill his desire instead of what's been placed right beside him. And when you have a casual approach to relationship, you're operated by feelings. And we may think that's okay because nobody wants their feelings hurt, right? It's all about your feelings. So then I started thinking, well, if life was dictated by feelings, I wonder how the power company would feel if I didn't feel like paying my power bill. Pretty sure my lights would be off, right? Like, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have power. What if my child was hungry and I didn't feel like feeding them right there? That'd be pretty bad, right? I wonder if I didn't feel like going to work today. Pretty sure those bills may not have anywhere to live and I may not have a bed to sleep in, right? So when you're in a casual relationship, you're living a life dictated by your feelings. And what I want to tell you today is your feelings should never be the driving force behind what you do. Because just like Esau, you'll give up something for instant gratification and you'll never be satisfied. Yet we treat marriages and relationships that way. We think that it really doesn't matter. What ends up happening is the other thing I get so many times when I walk through premarital counseling is we're trying to save money. Well, let me ask you this. If you're willing to move in together to save money, how do you think your marriage is going to roll later? I'm not telling you it can't work. I can promise you, though, you're going to fight about money more than you ever realize. Because the number one thing most people fight about in their marriage is money. And if you're already moving in to save money, you're already compromising with your budget. You're already compromising what you're doing. And if you're willing to compromise that, I'm willing to bet you're going to compromise somewhere else in your relationship. You may keep it hidden, but I promise you, it'll be found out. It always does. And I want to tell you, if you're walking in a casual relationship right now, you're probably expecting me to tell you to throw all the stuff in the yard, pack up the car, and go do that. Listen, Jesus is telling you what you need to do. That's not my job. All I'm trying to do today is point you to Him and say, what is He telling you to do? And if you're taking this casual approach to marriage, I want to tell you, you're going to be like Esau. Because Jesus didn't create marriage just for you to fool around. He didn't create marriage just so you could test things out, as a lot of folks like to say. Because here's what ends up happening. Most of the time, if you live together, I'm not saying that you can't survive. Hear me out. I'm not saying that your marriage can't survive. That's not what I'm trying to tell you right now. But I'm willing to tell you that most of the time when folks move in together, they think that that person will fulfill their desires and they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And what ends up happening is when they don't feel like being in that relationship anymore, they run to divorce. They spend most of their life practicing playing house and being divorced than they ever do about fulfilling a marriage and feeling what fulfillment and satisfaction feels like in a marriage. I tell you that is an ideal because I haven't felt it. But I'm telling you, if I follow God's plan for it, it will be what it's supposed to be because we talked about this last week. We said, hey, what God brought together with you, He couldn't do with you separated. That's the whole point of unity in marriage. But when you have a casual approach, you're not only telling God His plan for you is not good enough, you're using the person that's sitting right next to you for your desire. And you're expecting them to do things that you'll never do for them. And I want to tell you, God didn't create you for that. Now, for those of you that say this is stupid and this isn't something that you want to walk through, I just want to play it to you this way. You're telling me maybe God's trying to keep you from fun, but I would submit today, maybe God's trying to keep you from devastation. Because I walked through it. It's not a fun road. And if you think living with a person, like I said, isn't just as bad as divorce, find out what happens when you break up. And eventually keep walking through that cycle. Keep walking through that cycle and tell me that you've ever been satisfied. And I'll promise you, you've not been. That's not what God created you for. So if you are going with a casual approach today, understand you are like Esau going to the table, giving up something long-term just to feel okay right now. And you know who else does that? Alcoholics, drug addicts, people who are addicted to porn, that's what they do. I'm not calling them out. I'm not telling them that they can't have help. What I'm trying to tell you is if that's the case and you moved in together, more than likely there's an addiction that one of you don't know about. Or maybe you do, and you both are mad at each other about it. God never created you for that. He never created you to be in a casual relationship because Jesus didn't casually come to this earth and casually die for some of my sins on the cross. He died for all of them. He came with a purpose, and He fulfilled God's plan. The same can be said for your marriage. One man, one woman, together, forever. That's what He created this for. Have we made mistakes? Absolutely. All of us have. And you know what? Some folks have asked me as we started this church, did we have a perfect church or did we have it all together? And I raised my hand and said, shoot, no, because you got me as the pastor. It's messed up. You got me as the pastor. So we're messed up just because I'm here. And I want to tell you, when you take that casual approach to marriage, you're willing to say, I'm messed up, but you better not be. That's not what God created for relationships. So today, I want to tell you, you can fight destruction in the future and eliminate it today by not walking into relationships casually. Not just looking at this marriage relationship as just a piece of paper. It's just a birthright. It doesn't really matter. Because at the time, you just want to eat. It's like going to that grocery store. Hey, I know I've been great on this diet for 6 months, but look at that end stand of peanut butter. My God almighty, I've got to have it all, right? Like, I got to have some Little Debbie snack cakes. It's Christmas tree season. Like, you know, you're ready, so I've got to have 30 of them, right? Like, you're jacked up. Hint, hint, the hot now sign when you're driving by. Like, there's a reason for that, the reason that happens. So I'm telling you, don't live your life that way. Because I promise you, if you are, you're not feeling fulfilled right now. The rest of the world may think you're happy, and the rest of the world may think that you're okay. But I'm telling you, I've been there. I know you're not. So if you're walking in a casual relationship today, that's not the vow of purity God's called you to take. Ask him what he would have you do with it. And if you need help talking to somebody about it, there are people here that will walk with you through that. Number two, the second way that we look at relationships and marriage here in the United States, contractual approach. The contractual approach. First was the casual. Now is getting to the meat and potatoes of this, because this may be the relationship you're in right now. The contractual approach. Now, I told you here, I told you last week, so I get to be a realtor. I get to do that so I can do ministry for free. So I deal with contracts a lot. I'm not an attorney, but I have to deal with contracts, okay? And I told you contracts most of the time are set up for mutual distrust, if I'm completely honest. Just because I want to hold you accountable to hold up your end so you can hold me accountable to do my end. And I want to tell you, a lot of our marriages are in a contractual relationship. And it says this. It's literally built on mistrust. It literally says, if you do what I think you should do and you don't hurt me, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. And God forbid, I can mess you up all day long. It don't make a lick of difference to me, but you better not mess me up. That's a contractual relationship. I will tell you that happens in real estate all the time. You have to hold each other accountable. That's the whole point of it. Now, I'm not telling you for no accountability in your marriage. I'm just telling you God didn't create you and bring you together so that you two can have mistrust from each other. Because mistrust means you're hiding things. There are things people didn't know about you. There are things you're keeping hidden. You're living two separate lives. You're not fully known by your spouse. You've got a mask up all the time. You've got a filter. And it just says, I'm trying to live a lie. So it's a step up from a casual relationship. But that's kind of where Esau was. He stepped into this casual thing about a birthright, but he said, hey, I held up my end of the bargain by being born first. My brother was born second, so no matter what I say or do or whatever I give up, there's no way that I'm going to lose my birthright. And my friend, you can really mess up God's plan for your life and your marriage if you walk in with this contractual relationship too. Because so many times you walk around this thinking that your spouse has to be your savior. You're walking around telling them, hey, as long as you deliver what I want, I'm in. But when you mess up, the contract says right there, irreconcilable differences, I'm out. You didn't hold your end of the bargain up. And I want to tell you, if that's the relationship you're in, it's not what God created for you. Esau went, rejected his birthright. And it even shows what we do in our relationships. He tried to seek acceptance later and tried to get it back, and little did he realize, once he signed it away, it was gone. If you're in a relationship and you're pursuing this vow of purity, I know if you grew up in church, you heard this all the time. This is the catalyst in teen ministry. It's the catalyst in student ministry. You always talk about having sex before marriage and how it can rip you apart and how God didn't create you for that. He created you to be one with your spouse, not one with anyone else. And I want to tell you, if you're in a contractual relationship, that's what most high school relationships are. You give me what I want. As long as you don't hurt me, I don't break up. And then what ends up happening, like the big drama happens, the Facebook post or whatever the kids use, I don't know. I'm not into that. I'm an old man now. But whatever it is that the kids use, whatever it is. And that's what ends up happening. The problem is we have people in their 50s and 60s and 40s and living their life with this contractual relationship, expecting their spouse to hold up their end of the bargain, because you see what's the problem here is, when we live in a contractual relationship, we have a misunderstanding of the character of God. See, so many times the reason that our marriage is in a contractual relationship and we say, hey, you hold up your end, I'll hold up my end, is that's how we treat God. I would be willing to bet your relationship with God is that way. If I'm good, he better bless me. Otherwise, I don't have a relationship with God. And otherwise, he's mad at me. And when I'm bad, yes, he should punish me. But what ends up happening most of the time in our relationship with God where we can get stuck is when I'm bad, he blesses me. And I can do everything right. I can say my prayers. I can do my quiet time. I can try to seek him. And I still walk through the desert and feel like he's not blessing me. Because he's not a contractual relationship. And if I walk with God that way, I will definitely walk with my spouse that way. And I wonder today if maybe you're realizing we've been treating this marriage like a contractual relationship. I started to think practically what that would mean is, hey, if I rent a space, rough day for this, it's funny. I prepared it beforehand. You can look at my notes. But if I rent a space or I rent a house, okay, if I rent that house, and something breaks, who's responsible to fix it? Well, as a realtor, I would say it depends on what it says in the contract. But let's say I punch a hole in the wall with a couch. I don't have anger issues. Don't worry about me. Maybe I was playing a game and I got mad. Whatever. The system beat me. Come on, you remember those Nintendo days when you would flip the power off. Don't lie. You know. So that being said, yeah, see, everybody know. You know. I don't know what it is nowadays. I'm sure it's an iPad that you're playing on or what, or the Nintendo Switch, whatever that is. Smash Brothers, right? I think I saw that the other day. You're playing Smash Brothers. Somebody beat you. You get mad. I punch a hole in the wall. Who's responsible to fix it? Me. But yet in our relationships, our spouse will hurt us and we'll hold them accountable to fix it, and they weren't ever meant to fix it. As a matter of fact, it's a conflict that you walk through together that only Jesus can heal a lot of times, but instead you look to that spouse to fix it. That's a contractual relationship. And Jesus never created inside of marriage that that happens. You're not just renting this partner for a little while. As a matter of fact, God brought them to you on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose, to do something through you both together, united as one, that you couldn't do apart. We talked about that. If you've got kids, guess what? You couldn't do that separated. No matter what science tells you, it's still a proven fact. A man and a woman have to come together to have a child. I don't care if they do it in a test tube. It takes what a man has and what a woman has to make a child. God brought you together for a purpose. And if nothing else, maybe you don't have children. I want to say, what was that mission statement we talked about the other week? What is it that God brought you together for? And if you don't know, maybe that's what you need to explore in your marriage is, what did God bring us together for? If you've got a kid, he's already given you your purpose. I'm going to tell you right now, that's number one. It's not number one, but it's one of your very important purposes. But what he's brought you together for, you can never do apart. In a contractual relationship, though, whenever you don't feel fulfilled and you're hungry, I want to tell you what ends up happening. So I brought this on stage, and I started thinking about this. So many times in our marriage, what we don't realize is in this contractual or a casual relationship, I'm not stewing anything. Don't get excited. I don't have anything in here but an oven glove. So get excited. Many times what we don't understand is, see, Jacob's name was the deceiver. I don't know if you knew that. That's why God changed his name to Israel before he went and said, I will bless you and you'll have 12 tribes. His name is the deceiver. And what ends up happening in our life and our relationships is when they're in the wrong place because we're trying to fulfill our desires with a casual or contractual relationship, the deceiver, oh, he sits there stewing something up. He's just waiting. He's just waiting. Oh, he's not going to do it at your wedding day. He ain't going to do it on your wedding. He's not going to do it at the graduation of the kid, even though you might have had a fight in the car on the way down because you're trying to figure out why you're late. I don't know. Like, you're trying to figure out why the kid takes forever to get dressed. Why are we late everywhere we go? Because you have a child. You're going to be late everywhere you go. Congratulations. You're welcome. What ends up happening is he starts stirring. And he'll wait till you're the most tired, the most weak, the most fed up. And he'll say, have a spoon of what I got for you. You'll feel like never before. And when you're walking with the wrong relationship, I want to promise you, you don't want what the deceiver is going to hand up. Because just like Esau, that one moment for some Campbell's Thick and Chunky will haunt you for decades. Some Campbell's Thick and Chunky. Why would you want that when you can go home and have Campbell's Thick and Chunky all day, every day? But because of where you are in your desire, because of where you are in your hunger, and where you are in your priority and your relationship, you treat a relationship casually, you treat a relationship contractually, the enemy, oh, he's cooking something up for you.
And he's just waiting for you to walk in that door. And wherever you are in your relationship, maybe today God's reminding you that I'm treating my relationships casually or I'm treating them contractually.
I want you to know today, God never created that for you. Because what's stewing in that pot, it'll fill you for a meal. Right? Them hot now donuts, it'll fill you for a minute, right? For a meal. Don't even swallow going down when it's hot now. You don't have to chew, you know, just go straight in, right? And you just feel the pounds expand right away, right? It'll fill you for a minute. But a lifetime of that ain't going to be long. And I want to tell you, he never made your marriage not to be long. He made it to last. But when you go around and you wait and you see the deceiver and you smell what he's cooking, that's terrible. I went to a wrestling reference. But you smell what the enemy is cooking. And it's not, if you have a baby, don't smell what they're cooking because it's bad. So if you smell what the enemy is cooking for real, maybe today what God's awakening you to is the presence of the enemy in your life and your relationships. Maybe you're treating each other casually and it's just a trying it out. It's not worth it. It's just not. Maybe it's contractually and you say you hold your end of the bargain and I'll hold up my end of the bargain. And as long as we don't mess up on our ends, we'll go together. And the crazy part about that is the standard for you is perfection. And I hate to tell you, the first thing I will always tell you in marriage is two imperfect people certainly don't make a perfect relationship. You bring in all of your flaws, all of everything about you. As a matter of fact, if you look in the Old Testament, what I love about where Adam and Eve were is it said they were naked and their eyes were open, but they were okay. That was Genesis 2, before we walked to Genesis 3. My question is, if you are in a casual or contractual relationship, I'm willing to bet your nakedness is filled with shame. And inside of the marriage bed and inside of the relationship that God created you for, all of you is perfect and right with that other person. Now, you got to have Jesus in your life for it to be made right, but you can't have a standard of perfection in this contractual relationship. So today, I wonder if you're like Esau. You're trading something for a moment. And I promise you that contractual relationship will last for a little while. But eventually that spouse is going to let you down. They're going to let you down. And you're going to let them down. And that leads to our third approach to relationships. The covenant approach. The committed approach. See, we talked about this last week. Now this is God's plan for our marriage right here. This is God's plan for our marriage. The covenant. As a matter of fact, it's his plan for us is to be in a covenant relationship with him. Not one that's casual. Casual says, eh. Contractual means I got to work my way to God. He never did that. He never created you to work your way to him. Instead, he created this covenant relationship. And this covenant relationship is not one that's built on mutual distrust, but built on mutual commitment. This is two people being committed together that understand with all their flaws, with everything that's wrong with them, that God brought them together for a purpose and a mission. It's built on unconditional love, sacrificial love. It's the thing that we've all talked about. This is the ultimate vow that you walk through at your marriage. And if you're doing it right, I promise you, this is something you'll always look back on and celebrate with thanksgiving that God brought you there. You will. However, so many times, this covenant relationship, I want to tell you how it's changed for us. And those that are married will be very happy. So what would end up happening in Old Testament times is you would go to the room called the chupa. Everybody say chupa. Chupa. So if somebody sneezed right now, chupa, excuse, bless you. You know, just said chupa. They went to the chupa. And what ended up happening is they went to the chupa, and the chupa was called a marriage room. This is called the marriage room. So what ended up happening is the husband and wife would get married. So get ready, married couples. Here we go. I've yet to do this at a ceremony, and if I do, it would be crazy. So the married couple come together, and the husband and wife cut their hand and touch hands. Because, see, covenant relationships are sealed by blood. As a matter of fact, when you talk about your walk and you talk about virginity and you talk about where that is in your sex life, connect the dots with blood. That's exactly what that means. So they went and connected by blood because covenant relationships were always sealed with blood. And then they'd go to the chupa after the ceremony and they would consummate the marriage while everybody was waiting outside the door having the reception. So be thankful that you have a honeymoon and you could wait until later or whatever it is you needed to do. But know in the Old Testament, you had people outside cheering you on. Yeah, way to go. Are they cutting the cake yet? I don't know. There's blood. They done sealed everything. Somebody get him some stitches. He's ready to go. Like they were sitting inside the shupa room. You see, the marriage relationship was sealed by blood because of that. Thank God we don't have to do that today, because if you faint at the sight of blood, that could be terrible for the wedding video, couldn't it? Yet so many times when we talk about virginity and we talk about saving yourself for marriage, that's how your relationship's sealed by blood. So I would tell you right now, I wonder if you're like Esau. You're looking at this. You're looking at this story saying, man, I'm just hungering for something that I shouldn't be hungering for. My desires are no longer with my spouse or what I'm supposed to do or what God created me to do. My desires are to be filled in whatever's in this bucket or stew fest. And see, I want to tell you, if you're in a committed covenant relationship, that'll never fill you. And you know it. As a matter of fact, your spouse will never fill you. They weren't created to. The only thing that will satisfy the hunger in your soul is Jesus. And in a contractual relationship, you can't have that. In a casual relationship, you can't have that. But in a covenant relationship, you understand that I'm filled with the Word of God and nothing else can satisfy me other than that. And so today, I would say God's plan for your marriage is to be in this covenant relationship. And where Esau got screwed up is he broke the covenant because he didn't think God's promise was true. And I want to tell you, maybe you're on marriage 7, 8, marriage 18, that's where I'm just kidding. Wherever you are in your marriage, maybe you're not on your first marriage and you're saying, is there really truly a way that I can be truly married? And does God really have a plan for marriage? I want to tell you, this is his plan. One man, one woman, him is the third cord that cannot be broken. Him at the center of it. One man, one woman, pursuing God with all they've got, imperfect, brought together, unified as one, in a covenant relationship. Because covenant relationships don't get broken like contracts do. Covenant relationships have purpose. As a matter of fact, it's a fulfillment of God's promise. And that's where we can be in a relationship that's right with God and a marriage that's right with God. Otherwise, we're going to be just like Esau, missing out on the very reason God made us. All for a little bit of stew. Because here's where you'll get caught. It's after the long day. If you're not in a covenant relationship, that's when the secretary listens to you more than your wife does, right? She gets me, right? That's when the guy at the gym who won't leave you alone, man, he notices me better than my spouse does. The end of those long days that enemy will take what's stewing in that pot and he'll just keep serving it up. Because we talked about this last week in a covenant relationship. What God unites, the enemy wants to divide. And I'm telling you, if you're not in a covenant relationship, you're missing it. And so here's the thing I will tell you about where I am. I will tell you, I'm not married. So I will tell you, this is why this vow of purity, I stand up here and I will go by what's called the Billy Graham method. I've been made fun of many times in my life and I'll continue to be made fun of because I don't really care. You will never see me in a room with just me and another woman. There'll be another man there. Better be another man there. Unless it's completely comfortable. That's happened. And it's usually not for me. Usually I'm in a separate area. I'm in a separate room. I prefer to have one or two people with me all the time. If it's me and a woman getting on an elevator, I'm going to take the stairs. Leave no room. Because here's the thing. The Satan's just waiting. He's just stirring. He's just stirring the pot. He's just waiting. He's just waiting to give me just a little taste. And it'll haunt me for decades. And it'll rip apart from me the thing that he created me to be in, which is a perfect relationship founded in him. I'm not perfect. She's not perfect. But in Christ, we can experience perfection because of him. And our standard isn't perfection. It's because we go there. So when I say the Billy Graham method, maybe if you're married, you want your spouse to know you love them, operate by it.
Billy Graham always, anytime he counseled a female, he always had a male in the room and a female in the room. Anytime he counseled a male, he literally didn't do it one-on-one. He tried to have another male with him. He always had someone with him. And he got made fun of a lot for that. But I tell you what, I don't see him breaking in the papers with marriage out, with relationships outside of the marriage bed. I didn't see it. And he could be made fun of. And I want to tell you right now, if you're a teenager and you're made fun of because you're pure, let them make fun of you. You're going to experience something one day that they never will. They never will. And I want to tell you, it's worth it. You may think it's not, but I promise you, it's going to be worth it. It's absolutely worth it. Worth it. And so today, maybe that's where you need to be. And so the answer that I would ask you if you're married is, where are you currently the most vulnerable for spiritual attacks? Where are you the most vulnerable? Is it at work? Is it at the gym? Is it at Krispy Kreme? Is it at the coffee shop? Where is it in your life? Because here's what I will tell you, if you just want me to give you the quick answer, where are you hiding your biggest secret from your spouse? Because it's preventing intimacy. I promise you right now. What is it that your spouse doesn't know about you? Maybe you just got to be real with them. And that's okay. The best relationships have fights, and my goodness, do they have conflicts, but there's nothing hidden. And I want to tell you, if you want to experience a covenant marriage in your life, you can't have this secrecy. So today, I want to say maybe you're most vulnerable to spiritual attacks in secrecy. Maybe you're most vulnerable in spiritual attacks financially. Maybe you're most vulnerable in spiritual attacks with your kids. I don't know, you pick favorites. I know people do that. It is what it is. Everybody has a kid, right? Like, if you have kids, you usually pick favorites. That's what ends up happening. But whatever it is, I want to tell you, if your spouse doesn't know about it, you're taking yourself to a contractual relationship than a covenant relationship. And so, how in the world can you have a Genesis 2 type marriage? Well, we go back to the Bible. I look at Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, and it says this. We'll be done in just a minute. Hang in there. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. And it says this: how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You see, not only do you have a covenant relationship in marriage, you have a covenant relationship with Jesus, but also the people in your life you have to be transparent and open with. I wish I could tell you I was perfect at that all the time, but here's the thing that Jesus has been reminding me in my life to stay pure. So many times we can look at this thing, like I told you, and see that the enemy is just stirring the pot. But every time this pot smells so good and what's in it seems like it's going to fill me like nothing else, I think about the destruction it'll cause. Maybe this will help you. I think about, if I do this, I bring Jesus' name through the mud. I'm just like everyone says that Christians are. They don't love people right where they are. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. They can't walk with me through this. I visualize this. I think of this ministry. I think of your faces. I think of the trust that has been lost when I want what's in this more than what God has for me. I think of my family that's loved me no matter what. And they're going to have to walk with me through it. Or not. Especially if I lost them because of trust. So if you're struggling today by taking the spoons of what's in this pot, maybe you just need to visualize the destruction. Your marriage will last for a minute. You keep it secret, it'll last for a minute. But eventually, just like this pot, it's gonna clank and it's gonna be found out. Maybe today you need to visualize the destruction. Because when you do, you can see what this covenant relationship looks like. Because here's the thing I want to tell you. God can and will forgive you, but he'd much rather be blessing you instead of worrying about you walking through that shame and regret. Because all you're going to do is be just like Esau. Regret it. You're going to regret it. And so today, as we get ready to wrap up, here's what I want to tell you. Ultimately, we're all looking to satisfy a hunger. A Snicker bar ain't going to do it. I can tell you that right now. As a matter of fact, every one of us have the same hunger inside of us that only Jesus can satisfy. Not your spouse, not your work, not your house, not your car, not your kids. You have a hunger inside of you that only Jesus can satisfy, and He can only fill it. And what I can tell you today is I want to offer you some hope. To the one that says, I'm too far gone to be saved, I want to tell you that's not why Jesus created you. Because here's the thing. I can't change the soup that you've ate in the past. I can't change the soup you've ate in the past. I can't change the things you've done. As a matter of fact, I can't promise you that if you give your life to Jesus today, that everything is going to be like a genie in a bottle and perfect tomorrow. What I can promise you, though, is just as what's done in a moment can haunt you for decades, a decision in a moment can change you for eternity. And so wherever you are today, I want you to understand, regardless of what the way that you look at marriage, I just want to ask you today, have you ever given your life to Jesus? See, the reason that I know that a moment can either haunt you for decades or change you eternally is 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way and so great. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. So maybe you've been drinking from this pot and today is your day to stop taking what's out of it. Today is your day to say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Today is your day in your marriage. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus, but your marriage hasn't been committed to it. Today is your day that you can say, I can't help what's done in the past, but I can definitely change what happens in the future. And not because I have to clean myself up. All I have to do is receive Jesus. All I have to do is receive Him at the heart of what I do and pursue Him. And I promise you, all things can be made new. He says it in His Word. So today, wherever you are, as we look at this vow of purity, we're getting ready to sing this song, and it's literally going to say, open up the sails of my heart. And I just want to ask you this. Have you ever given your heart to Jesus? The thing that's going to rattle you the most today is I'm going to say, you may say, I've been eating and I've been drinking from this pot for so long, there's no way that Jesus would have me. And I promise you, if He came and died for me and He saved me, He can save you. And so today, as we get ready for this song, I want to ask you to ask Jesus what He would have you do. So I'm about to pray, and as we pray, you're going to stand up and sing at the end. The band's going to get ready to play. I just want to ask you today to open up the sails of your heart and respond as Jesus calls. Dear Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for this opportunity that we get to be here. Lord, thank You that You came to give us a covenant relationship, that You didn't die for half of what we've done. You died for all. You died for all. So Jesus, today, no matter what, we can give practical steps. We can open up eyes to see whether we're in a casual relationship, a contractual relationship, or a covenant relationship. But Jesus, none of it matters if we don't have a relationship with You. And the way that we view You, God, is the way that we view everyone else around us. So today, I pray that we would open up the sails of our heart, that we would see You in a new way. And whatever it is You're calling us to do, maybe right now You're calling for our marriage to be restored. I pray, Jesus, that we know that it won't be easy, but we're willing to take the steps because we're in a covenant relationship and we're committed to walk step by step with our spouse, no matter what, throughout whatever desert You bring us to. Maybe today we're not married, but we're in a relationship and we know that we're in it for the wrong reasons. I pray, Jesus, whatever it is You tell us to do with that relationship today, that we would be bold enough to do it. Because it might hurt for a moment, and there may be tears for a night, but joy will come in the morning, Jesus. You promise us that. And Jesus, today, if we're just walking around in our life like casual relationships, I pray today that we would end it. I pray today that we would no longer walk through this life casually, that we would see that every relationship is with a purpose, on a purpose, for a purpose. Jesus, don't let us be like Esau and give away the promise that You've given us just for a moment of instant gratification. We love You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Falling is easy. Staying in love is hard. It's hard to be honest and keep your heart open to be who we truly are without the excuses, without the facade. There's no pretending. Here in your love, oh Lord, set me free. Oh Lord, set me free.
I'm finally seeing you were here all along. Your love wasn't absent, no. It doesn't come or go. The image I've had is starting to fail. You're patient with me. Lifting the veil, oh Lord, set me free. Oh Lord, set me free. Oh Lord, set me free. Oh
So as we come to a close on service today, I just want to ask you, what is God impressing on your heart? What has He been speaking to you this morning? What has He said to you? What do you hear His word speaking to you today? Because like Tyler said from 2 Corinthians 5:17, God's word says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. What needs to be renewed in your life? What has, you know, gone through its season and it's time to step in the newness that God has for you? Is that a friendship? Is that some relationship that has gone through its course and gone its season and now needs to step into a new season, a new thing? Maybe that's into marriage. Maybe there's some issues, there's some struggles, there's some disagreements, there's some conflict in a marriage that needs to be let go, that your marriage can prosper, that your marriage can grow, that your marriage can flourish and be exactly what God intended it to be. Whatever that is today, I pray that you listen. Just be obedient to what God's word says to you, what His Spirit speaks to you. And if we can help, if we can just be there as someone to listen, or if we can pray with you, if we can encourage you in any way, please come talk to us. We'd love to connect with you in the garden or just find one of us after the service. But maybe that oldness is yourself, your old self, and it's time to step into what God created you to be, and that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and to become a new creation because the old has gone and the new is here. And that only happens through our commitment and our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, maybe you've been walking around casually knowing who He is, but maybe you've never been in that covenant relationship, knowing in your heart that Jesus gave His life for you, for your sins, to forgive you, to love you, and to carry you through any and everything. And so maybe that time for you to do that is right now. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to make that commitment, that profession of faith in Jesus Christ, if that's where you are and that's what you need. And I'm going to pray for us. So if everybody would, bow your heads, close your eyes. If that's you today, if you're here and you know that, hey, it's time to give up my old ways, my old self, and step into the new creation that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, then I want you to pray this prayer with me. But I want you to understand that it's not just because you say these words, that does not bring you to salvation. It's confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is who He says He is, that God raised Him from the dead in victory over both sin and death for you and for me. So if that's you and you're ready to step into that relationship with Christ, then I want you to pray this with me and believe it in your heart. And one thing we do here is we pray together out loud so that whoever is coming to Christ for the first time doesn't have to do it alone and doesn't have to be afraid or worried about what anyone would say. So if you would, repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. You came to this earth to live the perfect life, to die for my sins on the cross. But You love me enough not to stay dead, but rose on the third day in victory over sin and death. I give my life to You. I confess with my mouth, You are Lord. I believe in my heart, You rose from the dead. Help me to follow You the rest of my life, step by step, the best way I know how. Now, with every head bowed and eyes still closed, if that's you and you're here today and you prayed that prayer and you believed it fully and wholly, not just because you said the words, but you believe it in your heart that you have given your life to Jesus for the first time today, or if you're online watching and you prayed that prayer and you believe it and you are 100% all in, knowing who Jesus is, that He is your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to do this. When I count to three, if you're here, I want you to raise your hand. If you're online and that was the first time, I want you to contact us in whatever way. Leave a comment. Send us an email at hello@thevine.tv. Whatever you have to do, get in touch with us. So if you're here today or you're online and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, and that was the first time ever that you've surrendered your life to Jesus, do those things when I count to three. One, two, three. Good. Lord Jesus, for those who are here today, who are listening to this message and have followed along, God, I just pray that you continue to speak to us. Let your Spirit move. Let your Spirit stir in our hearts. Draw us near to you each and every day. Help us, Lord, to let go of the casualness in our life, the casualness that comes from the way of the world. But God, help us to live a covenant relationship with you and with our spouse and with those that we hope to be married to one day, God. I just pray that you stir in, that you work in each and every heart here, each and every heart of those who are listening, God. Open our ears, let us hear your word. Open and soften our hearts that it may be good soil for your word to take root and to grow in our lives, God. Help us to flourish, to be a light in the darkness that points others to you. And may we bring glory and honor to you in everything that we do. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen and amen. So thank you again so much for joining us today. And if you're online and you haven't been here, come next week as we start our new series, Seven Cries from the Cross. We hope to see you guys next week. Have a great day.